but I don't know. I just have a little feeling about this one. Going to a low tonight of 16. I'll check the airport departures in due course.
The number one hits are played on the number one station.
This is what radio should be.
Hello, children. Here is your music for today.
Well, despite the clouds, nothing delayed at the airport, so that's good news. So, a very good day and welcome, and it's 3 minutes past midday. Wherever you might be in the world, you're listening on www.bigfm.es. Here on the Costa Blanca, the frequency, Kenneth, is 100.9. And the telephone number straight to me here in the studio, 96588 9399. 1964 is where we start our story today, and a riot breaking out in Scotland at Hamilton during the Rolling Stones UK tour when 4,000 fans with forged tickets gatecrashed the band's gig. This was at the Chanting Gal Hotel. Last time I'm gonna play there, that's for sure. Buenos dias.
I told you once and I told you twice. This could be the last time, maybe the last time I die.
Jack It Up on Big FM.
Yeah, baby, yeah!
Weekday Madness.
Hey, I love listening to Vince Tracy.
And the real bonus? It's good for you.
Could you believe it? Steve and Linda, 5th wedding anniversary. And I can't believe it was 5 years ago. We were sitting in Albia enjoying the wedding breakfast. Very happy 5th wedding anniversary to you. '67 on this day, John and Paul sang backing vocals on the Rolling Stones track We Love You. Just was during a session at the Olympic Studios in London. And in the same year, the Beatles were selected to represent the UK for the first ever global wide satellite broadcast. The group agreed to be shown in the studio recording a song written specially for the occasion, scheduled for June the 25th. And with the satellite broadcast being to so many countries, so many non-English speaking countries, the BBC asked the Beatles to keep it nice and simple. Well, I think they certainly kept it nice and simple. The Beatles, of course. And All You Need Is Love. 12:09, your time check. Stand by.
All you need is love.
The Beatles there.
Casting to the world. Big FM.
'68 and the Grateful Dead, the Doors, the Steve Miller Band and Jefferson Aeroplane all appearing in California, just down the road from where I was, in a place called Santa Clara. Okay, very shortly we have guests in the studio. I'll tell you all about those very shortly. And be introducing you to the Tartan Army. We've got some lovely kilts for the ladies. We can make a fashion statement very shortly. Okay, the phone's ringing. I'll go to the phone in a second. Let me quickly tell you that The Streak was in the charts with Ray Stevens. So I'll take my phone call and I'll leave you with a song called Misty. Absolutely brilliant. Started off as a DJ, of course, and a big, big hit maker.
Broadcasting to the world. Big FM.
Do you suffer from restless nights, back pain or stress, or just want a really good night's sleep? Then come and talk to our friendly team at the Bed Centre in Calpe. We've a large range of storage divans, box springs, mattresses, including the latest in NASA technology and quality English bed linen, so you're sure to find the right solution. We'll give you superb customer care, including a free delivery and disposal service. The Bed Centre on the coast road between Calpe and Moira. Call 965 836 814 or find your dream sleeping solutions on our website at thebedcentre.com.
Club 17, Big FM. Now, you just heard an advert for the Bed Centre. And I should have Tony with me from the Bed Centre. So good morning, welcome to you, Tony.
Very good morning to you as well.
And it's Vince here on this side of the microphone. And let's welcome also Ali from Fife.
Good afternoon.
And John from Edinburgh.
Hi there.
Okay, well, we don't get that many kilts in here, so, you know, I'm standing a little bit of an advantage at the moment. Welcome to you both, and obviously I'm at the moment a blank piece of paper. I don't know what really your story is, so let me go right to the very beginning. I'll go to Tony. How did you all meet?
How did we all meet? That's a good one, actually. Last September, summertime, we were, Scotland were playing Spain, national football team, weren't they? And what happens with the Tartan Army is the Tartan Army look for a grassroots charity. I've been working with the Emails Children for some years now. And we contacted, we had a chat, the guys come over to see what we've got here, they visited the houses, they work closely with the children's houses. And these two amazing guys, with the support of Tartan Army, managed to raise us, I think we're now up to about 18,000, are we? 18,500.
Absolutely brilliant.
And with that money, our Altair Children's House, which at the moment time is nearly 30 children, we had a scrappy old bit of land out the back, totally landlocked. So we got a team of guys together, and we lumped, I can't remember how many tons of sand and, you know, cement and concrete and what have you, and this artificial grass. And now we've got a fantastic
amazing
site. Thank you very much to these two guys.
This is absolutely heartwarming, because, you know, you get all the bad news. Unfortunately, the radio station often has nothing but bad news to sort of report on. So this type of story, absolutely lovely. Now, let me ask the two gentlemen from Scotland then a little bit more about themselves. Is there only one Tartan Army, or is this a branch of the Tartan Army?
A Tartan Army is a mythical a mythical thing. It exists in whatever shape and form you want it to. So groups of guys and girls from across the country, and indeed around the world, who passionately follow the Scottish national football team, will group together and call themselves, you know, a local Tartan Army, so a Leven Tartan Army or a Kirkcaldy Tartan Army. And then when we get together, follow our beloved national side, we become some of many parts.
Fantastic. Now, unfortunately, most of the English people will remember scenes at Wembley of hordes grabbing bits of the sacred turf of Wembley, swinging on the crossbars. Is this the same group of people who are doing all this wonderful work?
Absolutely. You know, it's the sons and daughters of those folks. You know, we're not that old. The Tartan Army, I've got a reputation across the world for being warm-hearted, liking to have a party, getting on well with local people. And in the last sort of 15 years or so, we've really kind of developed that into what was some initial charity giving, some little bits and pieces here and there, into in massive scale now. You know, so our particular branch of the Tartan Army Children's Charity have raised and donated over £600,000 in the last 5 years to children's causes across the world and back at home in Scotland.
And obviously, with the fact that we're in Spain, we're talking in Spain, did you set out to find something when you came on holiday, or how did that come about?
Yeah, so part of the ethos of the Tartan Army Children's Charity is to find a needy a children's charity in each of the kind of the countries in which the Scottish national football team play. So fortunately enough, Spain were very fortunate to be playing Scotland kind of last September. So what we do is we have a kind of a strategy, so we know all the fixtures, so we know kind of what countries Scotland are going to be playing in. So what we do is at the start of the fixture list, we go out and we set out and we try and find children's charities that are perhaps underfunded, who have particular needs, who perhaps are not being funded by the government, for example, and then we try and simply make a difference to these children. So we sell, we have auctions, we have kind of charity nights. We sell T-shirts that the legions of the Tartan Army buy in their droves, and that helps us kind of generate money that we then speak with the charities in each of these countries to understand kind of what they need. And it's our kind of you're always going to need power, you're always going to need electricity, you're always going to need these kind of things. But what we try and do is we try and go in there and we try and provide something that will be of benefit for the children. So,
this is what's happened in this case. Sorry to interrupt.
No, no, no.
This is just, I'm just listening to what John says. And the Spain, after the Scotland played Spain last year, the local Spanish just fell in love with these guys. They were all in the newspaper, on national TV, of how well behaved, what a carnival atmosphere they brought to Alicante.
Well done.
And what they've done for us locally, which bearing in mind, Emails is not really a charity.
No, it's a strange situation with Emails, isn't it? Because basically, you do get, I'm going to be quite candid with you, you do get people who criticise and say, you know, it's only a small number of children. But at the end of the day, if it's a small number of children that are benefiting, it can only be a good thing, in my opinion.
Can I come on to that? I mean, I think what caught us is when we visited last September, we were walking around the house there. What struck us is John and I are both parents, we're both dads. We go home to our kids and our kids come home at night and they have a family there. They have a support structure, they have opportunities, they have an educational experience that they have. They have love and they have care that's completely unconditional. And the issue, you know, and why we've fallen in love with Emails is that, you know, these kids are coming from places where they don't have that. They don't have the opportunity that we have. But what we found in Emails was an organisation and a bunch of staff and a bunch of people and a bunch of helpers who were gathering around these kids and providing that love and that care and that support and that opportunity. Practical stuff like clothes and beds and a safe place to be, these are things that we all take for granted, you know, and the kids that Emails are dealing with are the very, very most disadvantaged children. They have pretty much none of the basics that we would take for granted, and that's where we're absolutely delighted to have supported Emails and to have witnessed and brought our fans down. So when we come down to do the donation, the money's part of it. A huge part of what we do as well is to go and spend some time with the kids.
Excellent.
So money's one thing, but, you know, having people from another country come out and say, we care enough about you guys to want to spend time with you, to want to get to know you. And we're going to be around in the future as well. We're not just going to, you know, come in, drop a pile of cash and then disappear off again. We have a party, we have a good time, we have smiles. And this is part of what we're out again for today, is to stay in touch, to say to these kids, look, you are important. You know, what you've got here. We're going to open up the football pitch. We're going to leave a plaque there as a memento of the friendship that now exists between these kids and ourselves and the hundreds and thousands of fans back at home.
Well, what's even nicer is, I mean, you know, like myself, a lot of people listening in won't know even where Fife is on a map. You know, I mean, I'm not joking. Most English guys, the nearest you get to know in Fife was the score that was put out, I think it was Celtic 5-4-4 or something like that. You know, it was a joke, so we got to know the name of Fife. Tell us a little bit about Fife. Where are you?
We're a little bit of, looks like a Scotty dog that sticks out between Edinburgh and Glasgow. St Andrews is in Fife, the home of golf. We are a largely rural community, but traditional mining area, traditional heavy industry, built a lot of the oil rig things down in Methil. So, you know, quite a nice area, but, you know, also Fife has had the heroin capital of the world for a long time.
I didn't know that either.
Heroin capital of Scotland, that's doing it.
We'll have everybody booking holidays if we're not careful. Look, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll take a little bit of music, and then when we come back, we'll be looking at the specifics of what you've actually achieved, because I know it's pretty good, isn't it?